Hi, I'm Rob Brown, and I'm your host of this Accounting Influencers podcast. Every week, you get interviews and insights from leaders and influencers globally about growth, leadership, talent, succession, tech, performance, and those special things that make the good accountants and accounting firms great. Enjoy today's episode, and let's get started. And welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today the legend that is Mark Lloyd-Bottom. Good day, Mark.
Good day, Rob. Legend? That makes me sound very old.
Well, you have been in this game a long time, Mark. Can you give us a 60-second snapshot of your career in the accounting world?
Wow. Trained and qualified with Deloitte, deeply longed to start my own business. And in Gerber style, of course, I started managing an accountancy firm with 60 staff, started a little business called Practice Track, which became the UK's leading provider of marketing materials for accountants. And then one day, Rob, woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, never went back to sleep, because in 1999, the word on the street was that everything is going to be done on the internet. And I just built up a paper company delivering budget reports and tax cards. So that gave birth to Practice Web, which was the world's first shared content system. And then I retired to become a full-time consultant. And that's what I've been doing for the last 15 years.
And what kind of shape do you feel the accounting profession is in right now, Mark? Because we've been through a lot over the last couple of years, haven't we?
Simple answer to that, Rob, is the future for the accountancy profession is unbelievably bright. And the reason I say that is because as we embrace technology, and as particularly in the UK, we're looking to deliver reports to HMRC much more timely, we have the opportunity over and above the technology companies to use technology to give a personal service and to massively ensure that clients' reports are filed and that we give them that assurance. And so in the UK and in other countries, as we move towards quarterly reporting, there's a huge opportunity for real-time advice and for an increase in fees.
Mm. What do you think are some of the threats to the accounting profession, if there are any at all?
The threat is that if we do not transition to giving timely service and timely advice, then others will come into the marketplace. And incidentally, inter-firm surveys routinely show that lockup, that is debtors and work in progress at realizable values, is very often in excess of 25%. That's 90 days. Unless we deliver work more timely, we will be challenged, and there will be firms that are challenged and perhaps don't succeed. There will be those firms that are definitely positioned to succeed and prosper in this important to file on time environment.
Yes. Now, the accounting firm as it is now has a problem potentially in that the average age of a partner, at least here in the UK, is 52, 53, even higher. There's the new generation Zs, the millennials coming through. What are the challenges you feel firms are facing, and what can they get right to make sure succession is done well?
You're right. The average age of partners in the global firms is 52.
Right.
The average age of partners in firms that are in the global brands is 58, 59, which means that for those people in small firms and partnerships up to five or six, succession is massively important. Mm. And the challenge we face is that those leaving, typically still baby boomers, expect a payout. And the payout, Rob, takes place in two forms. First of all, the retiring partner expects his or her capital account to be repaid. And secondly, they may, depending on the partnership agreement, expect a capital sum for goodwill. That challenges millennials, because they are in debt, and especially after in the United Kingdom, the recent housing boom, the cost of housing is greater. And so marrying the two, affordability and letting the retiring partner sail off. So that's the first challenge. The second challenge is that we are in an environment where technical skills are massively important. And you might end up with firms where the purse strings are held by the baby boomers and the younger partners who want to be unleashed into this new marketplace are sensing that they don't have the full support financially. So I think there's a number of issues. It tends to revolve around cash, but it's also attitude. It's also mindset. The one thing that baby boomers are finding is that the profession isn't the one that we came into. It isn't exciting. It's demanding. It's time sensitive in terms of reporting. Changing the model financially is massively important.
And we're in these hybrid times, aren't we, Mark? There's some questions around what is actually sustainable sustainable in a hybrid firm? Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that?
Do you know, Rob, it's a good question, because globally, there is a drive, even an acceptance, that hybrid is the way forward. But there are some challenges. Goldman Sachs, of course, have said everybody must return to work. But globally, companies are saying they accept hybrid, perhaps 2 or 3 days a week. But when you go forward 5 years, you're going to have a company that maybe has got 20% or more new employees. What about culture? What about community? What about training? What about passing on of experience? And that's just internal. Then you go back into the home. What are the implications of people now routinely turning their computer on at 7 or earlier? What are the implications of it not being turned off, maybe even at all? So there you have mental health issues, which I know resonates throughout the whole of the society. I think in 5 years, the hybrid model might have ebbed somewhat. The short-term challenge is that if you don't offer hybrid, then people may look elsewhere to employers who do.
You've been pondering well. There's a lot coming out there, Mark. You lecture around the world on management and leadership and accounting firms. Do you see good practice going on? Is it in good shape in that regard?
One of the observations I have, Robert, is that firms will attend CPD on compliance matters in droves. But when it comes to management, there tends to be a lower level of attendance. And yet I believe that, you know, if we work smarter rather than harder, if we embrace what we can learn from management, we can enjoy a happier workplace. We can enjoy a better lifestyle personally with work-life balance.
How coachable do you feel accountants are as a breed? We know they're technically super smart. They've got qualifications. They've studied hard. But in terms of coaching on the job, taking on new softer skills, perhaps developing these leadership and people skills, how absorbing are they of those?
I can remember 10 years ago, I was in South Africa and there were 300 people in a management conference and they were all excited. They gave us amazing feedback. A year later, I returned and that 300 had dwindled to 150, which was interesting. And when we asked, people said, you know, we got a lot out of it, but we weren't able to do anything because guess what? We're busy, busy, busy. So I asked this question, who's your number one client? And I say to them, it's easy. What's the name of your company? It is your firm that is the most important client. We are a reactive profession. We react to our 200, 300, 400 clients. And getting out of reactive and getting into proactive is a huge challenge.
Do you see complacency as a barrier to change, Mark? We know that accountants have a very elegant business model of recurring fees. Compliance is absolutely mandatory. So there's perhaps less incentive for them to change than otherwise might be.
Rob, can I just replace the word complacency maybe with the word frustration?
Okay.
Maybe they default to accepting this world in which clients don't provide the information until the last moment. And in some countries, Rob, staff do not do the work to the standard that firm owners expect. And I think these challenges wear people down. They cause them not to be as sharp as perhaps they could be. They tend to rely on their book of business. I mean, many firms, 95% of their revenue comes from compliance. And so, yes, there is complacency there. And there's always the desire to take on more clients, to do more compliance. The challenge is, could we perhaps give a better service, business advisory or whatever, to our existing clients? And the reason, Rob, why firms struggle in this area is because with compliance, we can insure against the risk. With anything outside of compliance, the risk is that you might, if you don't get it right, lose the client. And that's why people love compliance, because it's insurable, it's necessary every year, and there is little risk other than that which can be insured. Whereas advisory and any other component that is non-compliance has an attendant risk.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. But we do know there's downward pressure on compliance fees. It's valued less by the client, and advisory and other additional services are where key profitability and opportunities lie for a progressive accounting firm.
But Rob, I've been in this business for 35 years. Can I tell you, 35 years ago, I went to workshops and lectures in America in particular, but the focus was on business advisory. Unless you have a specialist, unless you have somebody who's focus is only advisory. The average partner is only delivering about 5% of their time in non-compliance work.
Mm. What are the key challenges to advisory? Is it the skills to deliver it? We talk about accountants not thinking like business owners, not being entrepreneurial enough, not having commercial acumen, not having that business awareness to speak behind the numbers. Is that a problem? Or is it a culture thing or back to complacency?
Let's talk about the difference between compliance work and advisory work. When you do compliance work, you are de facto an expert. When you do advisory work, you turn from being an expert into being an advisor. Here's the difference. With compliance, you tell clients the facts of life. With advisory work, Rob, it is a completely different model, which is alien to accountants. And the model turns around to the point where what you have to do is to ask great questions, which incidentally, 10 out of 10, that's what you're very good at. So you ask a great question, and then what you have to do is to unleash the power of silence. You see, the difference between a good accountant and a great accountant is that a great accountant asks better questions than a good accountant, but has the skill to allow the client the time and the space to come up with an answer. But it's alien to an accountant who is used to telling the client what to do. What you have to do is to guide the client on a process using your questions. Here's the reason why. If you tell the client the solution to their problem, they don't have the ownership to that solution. If you can tease and help the client to come up with their own solution, then they own it and they have a greater commitment to implementation.
That's an excellent distinction there. Yes, the ownership of it. And going forward from that, I guess the accountability to take action on it.
As they say on these reality programs, 100% Rob.
Mark, when we look at the future of the accounting profession, what's going to change in the next few years?
Compliance will be 60, 70, 80, 90% driven by technology. I mean, we have American companies doing audits on UK companies.
Right.
COVID taught us that we could actually do an audit without actually seeing the client. Tax returns are already driven by automation. In the United Kingdom, we have Making Tax Digital. I am with Free Agent with my bookkeeping, and they have recently emailed me and said, we can do everything that you need to file with the HMRC authorities. So, you know, our future is bright. We need to be smart. The technology companies will respond. But essentially, whereas once upon a time they were our friends, they're now our friends, but they're also competitors.
Mm. I heard recently, Mark, that there are now more accountants dying or leaving the profession or retiring than there are coming in. Given that automation, as you say, is taking up much more of the compliance work, is that such a bad thing? And can the profession be sustained?
Less people coming in. There are more attractive careers. There are better paid careers. There are more exciting careers. One of the challenges of doing compliance is that it's dull and boring. My youngest son trained with BDO. He left 4 months before he qualified. He couldn't stand doing audits any longer. I've worked in some of the global companies. I've worked with hundreds of partners and managers. Levels of demotivation are great. And yet we can take what some see as a profession that is in the aging stage. If we can add in entrepreneurship, we can regenerate, recreate, and establish a profession that once again is at the leading edge, where we become not just the trusted advisor, which is a title I'm not convinced we deserve, but we can become the most trusted business advisor. And that surely, Rob, must be a goal where we're a significant component of the business person's thinking with regard to their strategy in this noisy, busy world.
That's a really good call to arms. The problem I see sometimes is that newly qualified accountants come into a firm with all of these great ideas for a wonderful career and they get chained to a desk for 10, 15 years, don't they?
You're right, Rob. Why have we lost people? Why is the profession so old? It's because we face so many challenges and those who are at the top aren't always up or even capable. If you take me, for example, you know, I struggle with some aspects of technology, Rob. I really do. I've got a few people around me from the technology company that I used to run, and I'm dependent upon them fixing problems. And they come in onto my screen and they do things while I'm just sat there watching.
Yeah.
So technology is the way forward. Those who grasp that will have an exciting, dynamic, relevant future in this profession. Here's how I see it today, Rob. The profession has already lost 10% of its clients, people who do accounting online. The profession will lose 10% of its clients because people like my son will do their filing online automatically. The remaining 80% will need to pay their accountant three times the current level of fees as governments around the world catch on to what's going on in Australia and the United Kingdom with real-time quarterly reporting. This will eventually involve the acceleration of the payment of taxes.
Goodness me, this is really strong stuff, and it's wonderful insights into what's coming up. Who has the ear of the accountant, would you say? It used to be the regulatory bodies, the professional associations that they would listen to, take heed of. There are so many influencers out there right now, so many accounting networks and global alliances. There are their peers, people like you and I, the consultants, the gurus. Who do accountants really listen to?
I don't know that I fully know the answer to that. Accountants are getting hit from all directions.
Yeah, the vendors, let's throw the vendors in there as well. They have their agenda, don't they?
Yeah. Who do accountants listen to? Gosh, they have to listen to the regulators. And oh, that the regulators, Rob, would stop increasing regulation. In South Africa, they are so massively burdened with regulation there. So much work that has no value to the client. Mm. And so much of regulation is driven by the big four and by fear. So accountants have to listen and obey to regulators. Where do they go to for help? Initially, probably partnerships will talk amongst the partners. There'll be one of those partners who looks outside. They will listen to technology companies. Incidentally, when I tried to register in the United Kingdom for VAT, I was horrified, Rob. I registered, I went through all the steps, and eventually I got to a page where HMRC said, here are 80 providers that you could go to. So we listen to all of these technology companies, and you're there thinking, I have to take a decision. And no one's ever going to be certain that it's the right decision. Mm. So they will listen to the technology companies. And occasionally, Rob, when they come across me and my colleagues in the profession, maybe we say something that people find helpful and relevant.
You're over there at Ignite Practice Management, Mark. You're still very active. What kind of things do you do for your clients?
Oh, Rob. So I spent 35 years consulting, and I've also kept everything up to date. So what I've done is I have recorded all of my management training, complete with videos. I kind of regard it as a mini management MBA in practice management. And the idea is that partners can take hold of the wisdom and the experience to which people might perceive I have any to help them to better manage. And you know what, Rob? As you're learning these skills, they are transferable into advice to clients. They're transferable into how you deal with staff. So I talked about great questions. There's over 100 embedded in one of the components of Ignite when we look at business advisory. It's the life's journey that I've been on. It brings all of my client work and what I've learned from clients. So Ignite Practice Management, there's a blog there which comes out every 2 weeks, and there's the ability to buy the programs, all of them, Rob, and thank you for asking, come with the money back if not satisfied guaranteed.
That's more than fair. And Mark, if people want to reach out to you, have a conversation, learn more about what you do, what's a good way for them to reach you?
I'm always happy, Rob, to use Zoom or Teams technology. mark@marklloydbottom.com is the email address. Always happy to chat and find people that want to learn about practice management, Rob.
That's great. And final question, Mark. What would you say by way of advice and inspiration to the managers and leaders of today's accounting firms if they want to raise their game and serve the profession better?
That is a great question and a very relevant one. You have got to be prepared to spend 100 to 250 hours a year beyond your compliance updating, taking on board new skills. This is an era where new skills are necessary in the area of technology, in the area of business advisory, in the area of expertise in a particular niche, bearing in mind that niche can either be by industry or it can be by service. So there are some huge opportunities. Go beyond compliance, broaden your mind, and put yourself forward in the firm as somebody who has got solutions to problems, because clients do not buy anything other than solutions to problems. How can you broaden your solutions, which you're able to offer the owners of your firm? Because if you become a leading light, you can then put yourself in the place where you are a candidate for promotion.
Wow, Mark Lloydbottom, that's been super. superb. Thank you so much for your time and your insights today.
Rob, thank you.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.